I imagine it's very similar to this place, actually. In the UK, it took a long time for the government to change the law so that normal people could run a radio station. So until about the year 2000, it was only the government or a commercial business could own a radio frequency. When they changed the law and allowed essentially organized community groups to have a radio station, residents applied. We are a group of musicians, promoters, artists, so we didn't think we had a chance in hell to get a license up against businesses and charities and proper organized normal people. But for some reason we got this license in London, and the station has been sort of broadcasting ever since. We run pretty much on volunteers, so there's a small core number of paid staff who need to keep, you know, the systems running. But all the programming, most of the sound engineering is all done by volunteers, really. And it's a station where a really strong community of people have developed around it.
As we read in the internet, Resonance FM describes itself as a radio station where things can happen which have no place in traditional radio, so you told us also. Resonance FM wants to be an archive for lots of things and for things that seems to be impossible. It wants to be a center of art and ad rock itself. That sounds very experimental, and maybe it's the opposite of the easy listening. Do you think that only art specialists are listening to this experimental kind of radio, or did you also get feedback from normal people who have normally nothing to do with art in their everyday lives?
Well, the station's not all that. I mean, because the programming is made by volunteers, you have people, a wide range of passions and programs. In the early days, we were very unsure if anyone was listening, and my stepfather, he installs internet in people's homes for his job, and he would always tell me, oh, someone was listening to your radio station when I went to this house. And it started becoming more and more common for him to tell me this, so we assumed that our listenership had increased. About the character of the station, none of us had done any radio before, so we knew we wanted this radio station, but we had no training in radio. We didn't know the patterns radio falls into. So, you know, you have news at the top of the hour, you have jingles, you have idents. We had no idea about that. And in fact, there's no reason why radio has to have any of that, because that's just a language that you've been given and told, this is what radio sounds like, this is what you must do. So we started with a blank slate with regards to how do we arrange what will happen on the radio station. And that's pretty much why a radio station had this kind of almost manifesto to say, don't think of radio as these programs, half an hour. Think of radio as this utility, like a tap in the corner of a room, just constantly flowing, just this sound is constantly coming out of it. How can artists work with that?
Let's talk about your works. You are the music director of the Resonance Radio Orchestra. Can you describe this orchestra? What kind of music are you making, and how is this orchestra working?
So the orchestra is a bit grand title for it. It's quite a loose gathering of musicians, artists, non-musicians and actors. And essentially what we formed to do is do live radio Hörspiel, basically. We wanted to return to that tradition of an actor or lots of actors reading these parts live on air, while musicians and sound effects and Foley played. But because of our background, there was no chance that this would be conventional, because, again, we had no experience of this. And so we would invite musicians to write graphic scores or instructions for the musicians, and we would often adapt classic texts, classic literature for the actors. And the orchestra itself was formed from members of staff, musicians we liked. Pretty much anyone could join, and the size of the orchestra has fluctuated in years. So sometimes it's been very large, so 30, 40 people playing various instruments. Today it's much smaller, usually 10 or so people playing sort of these performances. But the actors are, you know, the actors we use are usually professional in the sense they're jobbing, so that the voice is the strongest part usually. The music is improvised and experimental.
The Resonance Radio Orchestra we are talking about will open the Radio Revolten Festival on the 1st October. What will we see and hear then?
Well, you will hear some... It's a continuation of a work that we performed at another radio art festival in Scotland a few weeks ago. So it's a continuation of this piece. And you will hear field recordings from a little hamlet outside of Halle called Planina. So we spent a day recording around this area just because it looked interesting on a map. When we were in the UK, we were like, okay, let's choose this place to record. And it's quite so you'll hear a lot of recordings from that. There are people playing timpani drums, the big orchestral drums. I will be playing analog tape and electronics. There are a few other musicians, and then we have some actors who are going to present quite an unusual piece called Larry Shipping, which is from this idea that went around the internet about the relationship of two pop stars. It's quite a strange text, actually. It's going to be interesting. We're getting it translated into German because otherwise it would be gobbledygook, be incomprehensible.
You bring us some examples for listening. I choose this one. Is this okay? What kind of song is this?
So this is very interesting, actually. This was a piece that doesn't have a sort of narrative in the sense of the other pieces. This is actually a discussion between a British Minister of Parliament to a journalist, and they're talking about the possibility of an asteroid hitting the Earth. So in the UK Parliament, there was a group set up to debate the possibility of this and how would we cope. And so we invited the Minister of Parliament to come to this concert and essentially be this narrative that we would play behind. And this is quite a large group of musicians.
So passionately that we as a nation and as an international community should be doing something about NEOs.
Yeah, my name is, as you say, Lembit Opik. And I suppose there are two things that are really exciting for me tonight. One is that the title of this whole event, We're All Going to Die, is also the title of one of the speeches that I give, because we are. And the truth is that there's no satisfaction in saying I told you so when that actually happens. In terms of the one that interests me, it's the asteroid impact. My grandfather was a professional astronomer, and he was talking about the end of the world from space before it was fashionable to do it. Around 1940s, 1950s, Ernst Opik, my granddad, said that Earth had been hit by massive cometary and asteroidal impacts before, and it would happen again. Well, I decided that I should carry on in politics what he had started in science and astronomy.
You like said we choose the weirdest one from the example.
Just because it's him. He he didn't really train. He wasn't very theatrical. He just sort of talked over the top of it. But I mean, the content of what he's saying is quite foreboding. For like, as he says, the title of the piece is "We're All Going to Die," and I suppose you are in some ways. But
We talked about the Resonance Radio Orchestra and about the opening of the Radio Revolten Festival, but this is not the only thing that you will doing at the festival. As we hear right now, you are building a studio in the Rathausstraße. On what are you working now, and what will you do during the festival?
So I've been brought to the festival really to help construct and run the radio station, the Radio Revolten Festival radio station. So at the moment in the Rathausstraße, we are drilling holes in the floor. And last night it was completely covered in black powder from poking a drill through the wall. And so we're making a radio station, and we'll be broadcasting the performances. But we'll also be broadcasting commissions by artists. We'll also probably do a lot of reportage of the festival. And you'll be rebroadcasting some of the content from the festival on Radio Korax as well. Yeah, the station is coming along. At the moment, it's just a couple of office chairs. We're fixing up computers and connections. And, you know, we've got, I think we've got less than 3 weeks before it has to be ready, so it's all hands on deck. But yeah, that's my main background at Resonance. I used to look after the production and the technical structure of the place.
We have been talking about a radio. We heard that you are working with radio in a very experimental way. So we have to talk about what radio art is. It seems as if radio art is something that is still not defined. Maybe the Radio Revolten Festival can be a possibility to define what radio art is. But maybe you have already a definition of radio art. How would you define radio art?
That's a good question. I don't really have a strong definition, in the same way I don't really have a strong definition for sound art. I think radio art is just simply using the medium of radio in a sort of fluid and plastic way, just as a sculptor might approach some kind of solid material. I think audio artists tend to be obviously the main users of radio art because they're used to the materials they're working with. But lots of contemporary artists have used radio in some form or another. So they use it either in an expanded sense, they use it to transmit sounds, or they use the, as we were saying earlier, the style of radio. So they might make a radio broadcast. But it's usually in the sense where the limitations are expanded. But it'd be interesting to see. I mean, the artists coming to the festival hopefully will answer that question slightly better through their work.
For the end, we can play another example. Overheard opening.
Okay, that's a very good piece.
Why?
It was performed at a festival of experimental music in Dundee in Scotland. And features an actor that we work with a lot, Tamdeen Byrne, a Scottish actor. And he was fitted with a mobile transmitter. And he spent the 48 hours of the festival walking in a spiral outside from. So he left the radio studio and he walked the entire route of the city and came back into the radio studio for the final hour of the broadcast. So a giant loop. So he has a microphone and he's walking the streets of Dundee.
do not cover distance. I do not think silently. I am not heard properly. I do not erase memories. I do not quite remember. I am now truly confused. It's not always.
Wir hören etwas von Chris Weaver und seinem Orchestra, die beim Radio Revolten Festival dabei sein werden. Die könnt ihr euch also das ein oder andere Mal zu Gemüte führen. Und Chris Weaver wird auch unter anderem Workshops anbieten. Er ist also vor Ort den ganzen Monat. I want to say thank you for the interview.
Thank
Chris,
you.
Will you see us in October and September now? And you can, yeah, I hope you are good arrived in Halle and you have fun with the Radio Revolten Festival.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That very convenient as it happens this day and age, but all this will not last forever, you know what I mean? It can't last forever, that'd be somehow obscene. You, me, the bricks and mortar, the river, the whole shebang, soon enough it'll all be gone. Like the tram lines, only leaving even less of a trace. And no one to look at it. Nothing left to hear, all swallowed. Like one of Grandad's cancerous medallions of blood and snot.